And I'm glad they're seeing their need of Jesus. And I'm thankful. But what we ought to do is not let this slip. Not to let it slip. And if anything, we should tighten up our grip on what the Lord's are doing. We've often said this when it comes to our youth retreats. Lord just blesses, shows things, does things. But when we come back, it's up to us to tighten the grip up on it, to make sure it doesn't slip through our fingers. I'm glad we don't slip through His, but there's a lot of things we let slip through our fingers. And message on my heart, I'll be honest with you, I've wrestled all night long. And some of the things the Lord's laid upon my heart, wrestled back and forth, back and forth. I've preached on this message before, but this is the one I couldn't get away from. And we've prayed and prayed and prayed. And probably familiar scripture. I wrote down, I do believe the last time I preached it maybe was 2015. I'm going to read one verse out of the book of Isaiah, chapter number 53, Isaiah 53. And most people probably know where I'm going, what I'm going to be preaching on. But I'll say it's so ever important for us to know this Bible, as Brother James told Madison and Rebecca and McKenna, to hide that word in their heart. And no doubt in the United States of America, we've got the Bible readily just about everywhere you can go. But I'm reminded of those people who don't have as good as we do. They would love to have a copy of the Scriptures. Everybody all right now? Say amen. Isaiah chapter 53, if you got it, say amen. If you ain't got it, say hold up. Hold up. Isaiah 53. Just going to read that first verse. That first verse. Isaiah 53. Verse number one, this is what he says. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Going to read it again. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Would you help us pray? Precious Lord, we come to you, Father, one more time today. Lord, Father, we thank you for all that you're doing. We thank you, Lord, Father, for the songs. We thank you, Lord, Father, there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. I'm glad, Lord, that he will refuse none of us a home in heaven. Lord, I love that song. And though he knows all about our struggles, and Lord, I pray today, Lord Father, those that's struggling right now, Lord Father, whatever they're struggling with, it may be, Lord Father, things in the world, maybe things in the home or things at work, maybe that's struggling with their existence. Lord Father, I pray today that they see that the answer is always in you. Father, I pray today as this message goes out, Lord Father, I pray, Lord Father, that you'd preach through me, Lord Father, unlike you ever have. Lord God, I ask you one more time to preach through us, Lord Father, that we not be looked upon, that we not be a show. We not be in our flesh, Lord Father, following the spirit of zeal more than the spirit, Lord Father, that you place in us. Lord Father, work through us, preach through us, Lord, and on our lips, and on our lungs, Lord Father, if you would. And Father, preach through us, Lord, as you'd preach through us. Father, I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord and numbered amongst these people. And Lord, it'd be my heart's desire, and I would fail, Lord Father, as a Christian, not to mention, Lord, those that's here, it's lost, Lord Father, not saved. Lord Father, we pray for them. We pray for an election and a calling that's made sure today. Lord, there's some people here that may be saved and some that may be not. It's not between me and them, it's between you and them. And God, I pray today they have ears to hear exactly what you have to say. As the very verse that we says, who hath believed our report? Father, I pray they believe the report today. It's in Jesus' precious name we only pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing and reading. Most of us know this scripture, being familiar. Isaiah chapter number 53, we find it here where he's asking the question, who hath believed our report? Into whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Notice the report has to be spoken and the arm of the Lord has to be revealed. Oftentimes we not realize and sometimes we may not think, but the power of God can do mighty, mighty things where man cannot do. Oftentimes we forget that it's not our job to reveal the arm of the Lord, it's our job to give the report. And that of the Lord. Oftentimes, one of the best things that we could ever do is tell people just exactly what Jesus had done for us. Most people say, well, preacher, I don't know Bible, and I don't know Scripture, I don't know this, and I don't know that. I can't quote Scripture, and I don't know exactly where everything is contained in the Bible. May I say this, friend, it's not by the word of God that you overcome the wicked one, but it's by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. The testimony that God gave you about when He changed your life, took you from a lost sinner and placed you on the roll of heaven. Amen, right there. Thank God that I'm on that church roll up in glory. But can I say this? A lot of times we talk about these scriptures, and I've often thought about this. We often say about the report that has to be given. May I say, when the report is given, we could either receive the report as being true, or we can receive the report as being not true. And Brother Miller, it's only one of two ways you're going to take it. I've heard some people say, preacher, I'm just not going to believe the report right now. Can I say this? If you don't believe the report right now, then you don't think the report is true. May I say, in the depth of your heart, it doesn't matter if I know that you know the truth. It's not a big deal whether or not this church knows that you know the truth. But can I say, in the depths of your heart, it would be behoove you, it would be the most important thing in your life to say that I know the report. And hopefully you would believe it to be true. May I say, this report will change your life. This report will not only change your life for the present, but this report will change your life for the future. Y'all hearing the preacher? Because oftentimes the reports that's been given throughout the world and throughout our days, we give more credence to, Brother Josh. May I say, we trust the weather report more sometimes than we do the report, and that comes from the Lord. We'll plan our vacations. We'll plan our days. We'll plan our picnics. We'll plan our family reunions. We'll plan weddings. We'll plan everything that we can think of, sporting events and things of that nature. We plan things around the weather report. And the job that I work at, a lot of times we're working outside, and I see Travis. Travis, sometimes we look and see what the weather report is. I mean, some people have to work on them water lines in the wintertime, and you look at their weather report. Somebody, they don't ever work in the winter with water. It's a time to look at the weather report. But can I say, that weather report, it seems like the men and the women that give that report, they can still keep their job when the report is nowhere near the truth, when the report is nowhere factual, when the report nowhere comes close to what exactly is going on outside. Y'all hearing the preacher? And oftentimes they will not believe. We'll plan the report. We'll put the report out there, say it's going to be sunny all day on Sunday, and we'll plan for our day to be sunny. We'll plan our day to do our things on Sunday because it's sunny out there, Brother Eddie. We wake up on Sunday morning and it's as black as midnight. The lightnings are flashing and the thunders are rolling and it's raining. And here we've made all of our plans set up to enjoy the day and the weather. But can I say this? We ought to give more credence to the report that God gives than we do the weatherman. May I say, oftentimes we'll look at the Wall Street report or the financial report to base whether or not if the financial state or the job state of our country is going in the right direction, no doubt, in this political season that we're living in. And I do believe we're at that fever pitch of political season every single year, Brother Eddie. Don't matter if it's an election year or not, because so many people ride upon the reports that come from out of the news media. May I say, when the person says that our economy has skyrocketed and we're doing better now than we ever have in the last 10 to 15 years, they believe the report that some people might say. I've heard people say, preacher, do you honestly believe that the economy is getting better? Do you believe jobs are getting better? Do you believe things is getting better around here? Well, I can look amongst this congregation, look and see not a one of us has ever starved for a meal. Somebody say amen right there. But sometimes we'll put all of our boasting into the financial reports and that, and we'll give more credence to the financial report of the news media. And can I say, we also too, when it comes to our retirement plans, we'll listen to what the financial things. I get a letter sent to me in the mail, and I got one sent to me here recently talking about everything that I need to do about planning for my future and planning for my retirement. I've been reminded by many of the people that's left this world had the best retirement, Brother Byram, and they had it all set up and ready to go to set themselves up where they can last throughout the years and not have to work hard for a living. But I've seen some have a real good retirement and they die and leave this world and have to leave that retirement to somebody else. May I say this, your retirement report ought not to be the most important part in your life. Oftentimes we'll go by that. We'll look for Social Security. We'll look for our financial destination and things of that nature. But can I say, that's not the thing we ought to listen to. And can I say, we only play in sports, they'll have a scouting report. They'll send somebody out and they'll look at the report of another team, of another foe that they're going to be facing against Brother Eddie. They'll write down statistics. They'll write down certain circumstances. If it's baseball, they'll write down how a person stands in the bat and what they swing upon and the pitches. If it's basketball, it's the plays that they run, the cuts that they make. If it's football, it's the trickery that they do. And a lot of folks will base upon their sporting events and base their victory upon the report that comes from somebody else. And can I say this? I'm not trying to come against nobody who likes the weather report. I like the weather report. I like my retirement report. I mean, I know I can know where my money is going. But can I say this? That's not the most important report that you should believe in your heart. The most important part of the report that you ought to believe in is the report of the Lord. Do you believe the report of the Lord? May I say this? A lot of folks will plan their life around the financial report, the weather report, the scattering report, the social report, more than they will the report of the Lord. But can I say this? The weather will fail you. The weatherman will get it wrong. The scouts may get it wrong. The financial people may get it wrong. But Brother Eddie, I have found that the report of the Lord has never been wrong. It's always been the truth from everlasting to everlasting. God has never failed, no, not a one. And friend, what you need to believe is in the report today. I'm glad to know this, that the young people have believed in the report. I'm glad to know there's some middle-aged people that have believed in the report. I'm glad to say and know that there's elder people that have believed in the report. May I say this? This report is something that we ought to believe in. I'm reminded in John chapter number 12, verses 35 through 38. Jesus is talking to his disciples. And the Bible says that when Jesus was talking to them, he quotes this very same scripture. He's talking about them saying that while the light is in the world, they need to walk with the light and follow with the light while the light is with them. Can I say this, Brother Don? It's the most important person that we can have in our life is the light. Who is the light? It's Jesus Christ. We need to take that opportunity because he comes up and he says, "For who hath believed the report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" Can I say this? Jesus thought that scripture to be so important. He's the one that they're prophesying of in Isaiah chapter number 53. But the Bible says Jesus even quotes this in John chapter number 12 and in Romans chapter number 10, verse number 16. And this is what the Apostle Paul said about believers. He says, people that have heard the report, he said, "But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report?" Can I say this? It's not as important, but it is important, Brother Josh, that folks hear the report. But can I say, most of you, I can look out and look and see that most of you has been in church a time or two. Most of you have been in Mount Zion a time or two, and you've heard the report of Jesus Christ. Can I say this? You need to take that report and hide it in the depth of your heart and ask God to reveal the power of his might in your life. Why? Because you believe the report makes a world of a difference. Y'all hearing the preacher? Can I say this? There was a report given back in the days of Moses. There was 12 reports given, but I will say there was a 13th report given, Brother Eddie. Most of us know this story. The Bible says that Moses sent out 12 spies to spy out the land of Canaan. And the Bible says that those spies came back. All 12 spies prophesied of the things that was going on over in the land of Canaan. Not only did they give a report, Brother Byron, but they gave the evidence of the report. The Bible says it was a land that flowed with milk and honey. And Amy, they come back with grapes, great big cluster of grapes carried upon beams. No doubt they shared them grapes one with another. No doubt when they heard them all say, "It is as it was said it was going to be, that it is a land that flowed with milk and honey." May I say that sometimes we'll hear the report, but it's the other things that come along with the report that we'll pay more attention to. And I want to get to that 13th report, Brother Eddie, here in a second. But I'm reminded in the scriptures, the Bible says that out of those 12 that gave the report, out of the 12 that went and spied out the land of Canaan, that 10 of them said, "Yeah, it's everything that we're saying that it is, but there's giants in the land. There's giants in the land, and there's walled cities so big. I mean, we're as grasshoppers in their sight." The Bible didn't say the giants called them grasshoppers. They called themselves grasshoppers. They said, "There's no way we'll let our kids be a part of this. We're afraid our kids will get amongst them. They'll become a prey unto those giants of the land." And the Bible says that when they called that report, there was two that stepped forth whose names was Joshua and the name of Caleb. And Joshua, Caleb said, "It is. There is giants in the land. There's walled cities in the land. There is a land that's got milk. There's a land that's got honey." He said, "But God promised us that land." Can I say this today? Sometimes we neglect the report that God gives. We neglected the report that God's man gives because the crowd's giving a report that's something different than what God gives. May I remind everybody, before the 12 went over and spied out the land of Canaan, Brother Miller, God done gave a report. He said, I will give your heritage a land that flows with milk and honey. I'll give you a promised land. I'll give you a land that you'll have the best of everything. You'll have fields, you'll have vineyards, you'll have prophets, you'll have fruit that comes. Can I say this? Oftentimes I've heard people say, preacher, you ought not to preach that way. You ought not to act that way. Service ought not to last that long. Singing ought not to be that way. And some people say, well, preacher, all that stuff doesn't do nothing but bring sometimes some weary souls and weary backsides. May I say this to everybody that's listening to this preacher? Hope you're listening. I don't care if it's in style or out of style. Brother, God said, rejoice. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Hey, them that are redeemed, let them say so, who's been delivered from the hand of the enemy. I say, I believe God and go with God. Do you know what happened to those people that didn't believe God? They marched around a mountain for 40 years. They marched and they marched and they marched. Can I say this? As saved individuals, you can take the report that the world gives. You can take the report if somebody else gives. You can even take the report that this preacher gives. But Brother Josh, if it does not line up with what the Word says, if it doesn't line up with what thus saith the Lord, if it doesn't line up with God's holy Word, can I say this? If you deny God's holy Word, you ain't got no one to blame but yourself, because the Bible says He's given us a report. May I say this, though? You don't have to read the end of the book. I just know the Savior. And can I say, we all win? The fight's fixed. It's all rigged. You've heard me say it many, many times. Greg, we win. We just have to go through these things, go through the hard times, go through the struggles. And some of you might say, well, preacher, how come I got to walk through the struggles and go through the hard times? Hey, if everything was rosy and everything was good, we never know how good Jesus truly is in our life. Y'all pray for me so my tongue don't get tied. But can I say, those good times, they come and I love them. When the bad times come, I'll admit to you, I don't like them, Brother Johnny. But when the good times come sweeping in after the bad times fade away, I'm glad Jesus is the one who's bringing in the good times. I may neglect sometimes and I may forget just how good Jesus is, but I still believe the report that He's the best thing that ever happened to me. Oftentimes people don't believe the report. They'll believe somebody else's report. They'll trust in somebody else's words. And they won't wait to hear what the truth is and let the truth prove itself out. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? Those 10 spies, the ones that were so scared to death, they was reacting based upon their emotions and what they saw to be most important. But the other two, Joshua and Caleb, said, God promised us this. God promised us this. And by the way, we remember what it was like in Egypt. We remember that it was rough over there. We remember being slaves under the taskmasters. We remember how they made it harder on us when God come to get us out. Yeah, there was manna, and manna wasn't the best thing. And yeah, water had to come from a rock. But we crossed over, and He told us there was grapes, there was milk, there was honey. And Sister Shirley, they said, we found that God's report is true. Can I say this? The report is true. Yes, you'll have giants in the land. Yes, you'll go through battles in the land. But friend, lift up your head, stick out your chest a little bit, and pick up your upper lip or your bottom lip and put a smile upon your face, because victory's just around the corner. The battle's not ours. The battle is His. But the victory is sweet, and the victory is ours. Oftentimes, we'll allow that report. Can I say this? I wonder if you'd believe the report of John the Baptist. John the Baptist, the Bible says of a, Jesus said this about John the Baptist. He said, of a man born of a woman, Jesus said, there's none greater than John the Baptist. The Bible says that the Lord would send His forerunner, and then the law and the prophets were unto this forerunner. His name was John. Jesus, the Bible says that He'd have the spirit of Elijah, and the Bible says, Jesus said, if you'll have it, it is Elijah. Sin, He was touched, He was anointed, He was sent and filled in that with the Lord. And can I say, John the Baptist, they try to make Him bigger than what He was, but John the Baptist kept Himself in a straight kind of way, a sense of mind. They try to say, are you the one? Are you the one that's to come? Are you the one that's to come? He kept saying, no, I'm not the one. He said, I'm not the one that's supposed to be coming. He said, but I'm coming before the one that's supposed to come. He didn't say it, but I wonder how many times he reminisced, Brother Don, those times when he was in his mother's womb and the Holy Ghost caused him to do a somersault flip when he got in the presence of his cousin Jesus. Y'all hearing the preacher? You say, preacher, what are you getting at? I believe John the Baptist's report is as true as it can be true. The Bible says they asked if he was the one. He said, I'm not the one, but the one coming after me is preferred before me. I know these are the scriptures that we go before and we preach upon when we get to the river and we have a baptizing. But the Bible says, he said, the one that is before is cometh after me is preferred before me. He said, I'm not worthy to stoop down and unloose the latchets of his shoes. He said, Jesus is just so great. He's just so wonderful. And the Bible says he looked out upon, he said, I do baptize you with water under repentance. He said, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Woo! Bless his holy and righteous name. That water baptism does do something for me. But Brother Jeff, I love the Holy Ghost and the fire. It sticks with you. It goes with you every step of the way. I might lose my baptismal certificate. There I got pictures of me when I got baptized at Twin Creek up in Carlisle, Ohio. And those pictures may get burned up, but they'll never burn up what God did on the inside. Somebody hearing the preacher? Because I say the report is true and I believe the report. And John the Baptist looked out and said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the whole world. John the Baptist prophesied. Would you believe the report of John the Baptist saying this is the one? He is the one. He's the one that's going to come and take away all your sin. He's the one that will wash you whiter than snow. He's the one that not only will you not have to worry about sin, but he'll take up the Holy Ghost and the fire will there be within your heart. I love the old song, the only fire I'll ever feel is a burning in my heart. Through and by the blood of Jesus Christ and receiving him as my Savior, I no longer have to worry about hell. Y'all hearing the preacher? And can I say this? John the Baptist said this was the one that was going to take away my sin. Can I say this? Some people may not like it, but it is the truth. Brother Eddie, our problem is always sin. It always comes down to sin. Sin is always at the root of everything. And sin is our worst enemy. I know they got chemotherapy. And I know they got radiation therapy. I know they're doing surgeries and things like that to try to get rid of cancer and diseases. But friend, there's a disease that's killing everybody that's ever been born. And it'll keep killing him. And that disease is called sin. But there's not a remedy for it. There is a cure. And his name is Jesus. Jesus Christ is the cure for sin. I wonder if you'd believe Peter's report. Peter's report would be something along these lines. Yeah, I know him and he's wonderful, but I denied him. My speech and my actions, I turned my back on him. I wonder, Brother Eddie, how many people underneath the sound of my voice has ever turned their back on the Lord or maybe denied the Lord by their actions, denied who he is by the things and the way that they have been living. Peter was the one who told Jesus, he said, they may forsake you, but I'm never going to leave you, Lord. I'll stick right there with you. I'll never deny you. And Jesus even told him, he said, before the cock crows twice, you'll deny me three times. The Bible says that Jesus, whom he spoke the words, he said, he that denies me before my Father and his angels, I'll deny him before him, deny that man before my Father. And can I say this? Who that denies me before the world, I'll deny him before my Father and his angels. May I say this? Peter had a problem. Peter denied Jesus Christ. I want you to look up here at this preacher. I want you to listen real close and real well. I don't care if you think you've been saved for 100,000 years. I don't care if you think your name's at the top of the roll. But friend, when you deny Jesus Christ, you've got hard times headed your way. The reason why a lot of people's not happy, a lot of folks are sappy, Brother Eddie, is because they've denied the one true Savior, Jesus Christ. May I say, he shouldn't be the last resort. He should be the first choice. He's the one that we should always turn to, come to. Why? Because Peter is the very one who said, cast all your care upon him because he cares for you. Peter would be the one who says, you know, I walk with him and I talk with him, but I denied him. Would you believe the report that when the Bible says that Peter found out that Jesus rose from the grave? That Jesus told Mary, he said, you go tell Peter that I'm risen. You may think I'm crazy, but I think Peter needed to hear that Jesus wasn't dead, that he was alive. Can I say, though he denied him three times, he even charged Peter and said, ask Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Can I say this? I think that should be happening in our lives right now, Brother Eddie. The Lord asking us, do we love him? Do we love him? I wonder if you'd believe Paul's report. John the Baptist's report that he's the one who takes away sin. Peter's report, though you deny him, he'll still take you back. I wonder if you'll remember if he'll take Paul's report. Paul said, I'm walking on the road to Damascus and I'm persecuting the church. I'm making fun of those church people. That life ain't the best life. That life is a bunch of junk. I'm finding more and more and more the things that took place in this Bible is coming back. Pressing up, doing things. I think I said it last Sunday. If I didn't, I'll say it again. We got more and more people coming out, and be an antichrist, though they're supposed to be on the same side politically as most of us, they're antichrist. They don't think Jesus is the answer. Can I say this? Jesus is always the answer. And before I ever voted for a Democrat or a Republican, I'm a Christian first, Brother Ronnie. I'm a born-again child of God. The Republicans and Democrats can all jump in a boat and sail to North Pole for all I care. I'm sticking with my King, Jesus Christ. Can I say this? That when Paul's report, before he was Paul, he was Saul, he's on the road to Damascus. And the Bible says a light shined about him. Now, Paul had papers to charge the people for being Christians, to put them in prison. His testimony, his papers, his arrests, no doubt probably brought people to their dying breaths and left this world unprepared, or left this world dying for the cause of Christ. But thank God they were prepared for their death. Paul's report is though I had done bad things, and though I had done things that's unspeakable, still on the road to Damascus, he come around me and spoke to my heart and saved my soul. Oftentimes we think about this and don't realize it. I'm about to get back to the scriptures. We said in Isaiah 53. One of the things I didn't think about, I had it, and I was thinking about it back here in the office. And we got some tracts back here. If anybody wants to pass out tract to people, tell them about Jesus, give them a tract. Not only a Mount Zion tract, invite them to church, but there's even some tracts back here about the gospel. And there's one back here I like called Hear Ye Him. Hear Ye Him. Goes through there and talking about Hear Ye Him. Hear Ye Him. Matthew chapter 17, we find there's Jesus, Peter, James, and Andrew on top of a mountain. And the Bible says that they look and saw Jesus speaking with Moses and Elijah. And they're talking. Peter saw them talking, and he says what he said. He said, Lord, let us build three tabernacles, one for Moses, one Elijah, and one for you. And Jesus didn't say this, but a voice come from heaven, overshadowed him, and said, this is my beloved Son. Hear ye him. Hear ye him. I wonder if you'd believe the report that Jesus gave of himself. John chapter number 3, he said, God so loved the world. This is Jesus speaking, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. Y'all listen to the preacher? And this is the thing that got me about this scripture, because I've read this scripture, I don't know how many times, over and over and over again, but this is what he said. Even though he said these things, he said, and this is the condemnation. Oh, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He said they didn't believe the report. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest. They are wrought in God. I find that when Jesus gives that report, he also says in John chapter 14, he said in verse number 6, he says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Jesus also gave a report and said, all that the Father has given me, I've no wise cast out. He said, all that the Father has given me, I've no wise lost. Jesus, the testimony that he gives, and he speaks to the heart of individuals. I wonder if you would believe that report today. There's one more report I want to give. Before I go back to Isaiah 53, there's one more report I want to give. And the report you'll find in Luke chapter number 16. That last report is from a rich man. A man who the scripture says fared sumptuously daily. That means his life was pretty good. Wasn't on skid row. Didn't have to worry about a paycheck. Didn't have to worry about a job. Y'all with the preacher? Oftentimes I think about this, and I've heard people talk. I'm not trying to throw light on people. I've heard a lot of folks talk about how rough life is in this day and time. I still think in the United States of America, we got it better than most anybody else in the rest of the world. We got it good. I mean, there's people everywhere hiring. It may not be the ideal job that people want to get, But I'll say this, at least there's jobs out there for folks to get. I don't know why I'm hitting that right now. Y'all pray for me. But we tend to think in the United States of America that if we get up in the morning, the alarm clock or the power's out, and you know, I know we had power out here this past week, and I heard some people complaining saying, man, we got to get that air conditioner back on. I don't know if I can make it without that air conditioner. And I'm thinking, it wasn't until the mid-80s, Brother Tommy, my mom and dad got air conditioning. I survived the 1970s and the first part of the 80s with no AC. It may not look like it now, but I did. I think that's the reason why I was thinner back then. You just sweated it off. But we got it so good. We got it so easy. And oftentimes in that ease, Brother Tony, we get complacent. And I have most of the people I've ever talked to, when I've talked to them, they've always said they believe in the Lord. I've even had some people say, why you all time, why you ain't got to pressure me, I believe in the Lord. I think in the United States of America, you'd be hard-pressed to find somebody. I mean, you'll find some that says they don't believe in God, the existence in God, but they know who he is. Y'all with the preacher? Because they've heard the report. But this rich man didn't care about the report like most people do. They don't care about the report. And the Bible says outside his gate was Lazarus. Bible says that he had sores and dogs licked his sores, begged for crumbs. And it's amazing the where we live in our country today. And y'all pray for me now. I'm seeing these rabbits jump up, and I'm trying to mind the Lord. And so many people want to justify themselves and what they do. No doubt that rich man probably thought, you know, he's a bum. He's always been a bum. Come from bum. Wendy's has got a job right down the road. Didn't get him a job. Y'all hearing the preacher? UDF's all the time hiring over in Hoptown. I see the sign all the time every morning, get coffee. They're hiring. A lot of things happen, a lot of stuff going on. But he never cared about old Lazarus. Never cared about life, never cared about anything else because everything was took care of until the day that he died. The Bible says the rich man died and Lazarus died. The Bible says that Lazarus was carried into the bosom of Abraham. But in hell, the rich man lifted up his eyes. May I say this? There's a lot of folks nowadays in the church world who doesn't believe in repentance. But that rich man believes in repentance. We got Baptist preachers that don't believe in repentance. But there's people in hell right now. Everybody in hell believes in repentance. The Bible says believe the gospel and repent and believe the gospel. May I say this? That's what we need to do. As Paul said, repent towards God and put your faith towards Jesus Christ. The Bible says this rich man lifted up his eyes in hell and he looked across and saw Abraham comforted in the bosom, saw Lazarus comforted in the bosom of Abraham. And he begged Abraham to send Lazarus back with just a drop of water so he could cool the torment of his tongue and the flame that he was in. And Abraham said that there's a great gulf fixed between the two. Y'all with the preacher? And the Bible says that he asked Abraham to send Lazarus to his five brothers. He said, send him to my five brothers that they may not come here. As I said, we've got people that don't believe in repentance. We've got people that don't believe in hell. And friend, the report of Christ, also there's a report that comes with it, and that hell is real, and hell is hot, and hell is still existing. And hell hath enlarged her borders daily. I see all the great theologians and I see all the academic people of our country and of these great colleges that are in the great debate. And most of them are coming up with now that there really is no hell. May I say this, friend, if there was no hell, Jesus would never have spoke of it. And I still trust in the words of Jesus Christ. I still believe his report. I'll say this, if there is no hell, and I'm wrong, Sister Vicky, I win. But if hell is real and you die in your sin, as Jesus said, if you die in your sin where I am, you cannot come. It's real. And the Bible says that that rich man asked for Lazarus to be sent to his five brothers, and he was spoken unto him. He says, they have Moses and the prophets. If you'll have it, they have their report. Somebody's getting a report right now. He said they got the report of Moses and they got the report of the prophets. And this is what he said. If they won't believe them, they won't believe one that rose from the dead. That's what he said. Here's one of the things that always marvels me. The one speaking the story is one who raised from the dead. And even though most people, Brother Ronnie, believes that Jesus Christ is real, if you tell them the crucifixion story, they'll say, I believe it, but can I say this? They won't believe the words that he spoke. They won't believe the scriptures that has been written. And Isaiah 53. Go back to Isaiah 53 and I'll be done. Y'all thinking that it's been a long time, but we'll get this wrapped up right here. Isaiah 53, this is what he said. Verse number 3. He is despised and rejected of men of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Can I say this, friend? He suffered everything that you and I will ever suffer. To be rejected, can I say this? One of the worst things to have is to be rejected. Somebody might say, preacher, why did you have, and I know he won't mind, why did you have us come around and shake hands and hug on Avery after we just got done doing it to Mark and Christine and his two girls? What would it do if some little kid did not realize that there was a church that loved them so much and put their arms around them and tell them that they love them? And there's people, some folks will say, well, preacher, do you think that really goes a long way? I'm telling you, honey, it goes a whole lot farther than vinegar does. And Jesus, the Bible says, was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. And that's what he's saying. He said, I've been through everything, Brother Josh, that you've been through. That way I can be your high priest. Verse 5, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. And we have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. That means he was humble. You all know that Jesus could have snapped his fingers, batted his eye, and killed everybody. But still yet he sucked it all up. Brother Ronnie said, I'll take everything for everybody. I'll pay that sin price. One who didn't know no sin became sin. He didn't take sin. He became sin for everybody. For everybody. Verse number 7 says, he was oppressed and was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought to the lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land and the living, and the transgression of my people was he stricken. That means he paid the price. He was innocent, and they treated him as a guilty criminal. I wonder if Barabbas would stand up here today and tell you how many people ought to believe the report that Barabbas gives. I was guilty. I was a murderer. I brought up the sedition. But this man took my place. That was my cross that I was supposed to be on, but he took my place. Verse number 9, he said, and he made him his grave with the wicked and with the rich his death, because he had done no violence. Neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Notice this. Verse number 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, he that hath put him to grief, that when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Friend, that was him dying for you. And can I say this? This report is great, Brother Paul. Everybody say, yes, preacher, I believe the report. I believe the report. But they believe it generically, generally. So let me give you an example. I think that's good. Tina got saved. I think that's good. Hey, that's a good choice to make. I'm glad you got saved. Hey, where's McKenna? Hey, I'm glad you got saved. Good choice, McKenna. Jesus, that's the way to go. But we believe it for everybody else. But I wonder how many people in here believe it about their own self. Not if nobody else believed the report, but have you believed the report? May I say this, friend? There's not a sin, there's nowhere you've been that God cannot forgive you of. Amen. And that he died for your sin just as much as he did mine. Oh, we could sit here, and there's some of us who's lived a pretty rough life, and we could brag about the stupidness that we did. But friend, I'd rather brag about how Jesus forgave that stupid sin that we did and brought us up from a horrible pit and set our feet upon a rock. I didn't deserve to have my feet set upon a rock. Didn't deserve to be pulled out of a horrible pit, but I'm glad He's God and I'm not. But notice this. I'm going to keep on reading. Verse 11, he shall see the travail of his soul, and he shall be satisfied by his knowledge, and shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Can I say this? When he saves your soul, I like that word justify. Because it's just if I've never sinned in the eyes of the Lord. It's not my justification. I can't justify myself. And he will never, can I say this? Jesus will never justify sin. Oh no, he will not. But he'll present you faultless. Just as if you ever not have sinned. Verse number 12. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and with the shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors and bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. That's us getting resurrected. And we're about to go do. And I said, I'm going to get scripture. I got one more piece of scripture. And some of y'all might be thinking we've been here for 4 hours, and I'm still in. I ain't went into overtime yet. I got one more piece of scripture I want to get to. That very same verse, that very same scripture, we find in Acts chapter 8. And there's a eunuch in a chariot, and he's by himself, and he's got him a Bible. If you'll have it, if I could put it. He's on his way to work, or she's on her way to work, or she's at the ball field, or he's at the ball field. Whatever you're doing throughout the day, maybe you're there, and you got that Bible, and you're trying to make sense of it all, because life is upside down. You can't find the answer, and it seems like there's no way you come out on the winning side, and you're trying to find out. Well, this eunuch, he's looking, he's reading scripture, and Brother Eddie, he's reading the very same scripture, Isaiah chapter number 53. Hallelujah. He had the report, and he was trying to read it. But I'm glad the preacher man, the man of God, who's in a great big revival over in Samaria, God said, preacher man, got another place for you to go. No doubt we'd all say, well, no, man, everything's going good here. You got to stay here. No, he takes him to the desert where nobody's at, where nobody would go around, where nobody would want to go to. And he finds that man in a chariot reading that Bible. And the Lord says, go get up in there with him. He gets up in there with him. Now, some of y'all may be thinking I'm crazy, but I'm telling you, I believe he was an anointed man of God, full of the Holy Ghost, and he had a report to give. And from the very same scriptures, he preached unto him Jesus Christ. I like what he did. He did like little Avery did. He come up and he said, what must I do to get baptized? Well, yeah, here's some water. Water just appeared in the desert, preacher man. How you figure that one, preacher? Water appeared in the desert, preacher man. How'd that happen? I believe Philip he's like, how can I get baptized? I like what Philip said. He said, believest on these scriptures. Believest the report. Believe that he is the one. And he says, I believe. The answer is already yes, Brother Josh. The report's already got a happy ending, that if you believe in it, save you, forgive you. But preacher, you don't know what I've done. You know what I don't, and I do not want to know. There's a lot of things I know now I wish I never knew. But can I say this? It doesn't matter what you've done. Jesus died for all sin. Jesus died for every man, boy, woman, and girl. But will you believe the report? I think we've seen the arm of the Lord revealed, Brother Eddie, with all these people getting saved. Seeing how the Lord's moving in people's lives. Everybody always looks at salvation as when God's arm's being revealed. But I'm seeing some people in this church, Brother Eddie, growing and growing and getting powerful and stronger. Real powerful and real strong. That's the arm of the Lord. You said, preacher, what will he do for me? Everything you need done. You just got to believe the report. Not only believe the report that it's real, but believe it because it's about you. I believe if everybody in this church house was saved and you was the only person lost, and I don't know who it is that I'm speaking to, but if you was the only one, that same report be given because he'd done the same thing just for you. I wonder today if you trust him with all your heart. I wonder if you would trust the report and believe the report. Like I said, the weather report's good, the financial report's good, the scattering report's good, all those things have a place in life. But friend, the most important report you need to believe is the report about Jesus Christ, how he died for you. I wonder if we can get us a song at this time.